Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Dr. Jeffrey Smith, Associate Professor of Cultural Geography. And I know we talk about all sorts of different things here, Jeff. Jeff, of course, a cultural geography professor. He teaches a variety of classes, including world geography and the geography of Kansas. And we've talked a lot about specific countries in some of your previous visits here. But we're going to kind of take a different approach, talk a bit about the concept of population change, how that affects different countries, including our own country. And maybe even bring it back home to Kansas here and kind of feel like you're in a classroom, but we're going to go through some definitions and key terms. And so everybody get your little notepads out and your pens and paper, you know, take notes. And but I guess, Jeff, if you can help us understand, you know, some of the different terms and concepts that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Good morning and happy Halloween to everyone. I wish you guys could see Kathy and Dave because they're all decked out in the Halloween outfits and it's a lot of fun around here. And it is always a pleasure to be here. What I'm going to center on today is looking at population change. And in 1960, the world's total population was just over 3 billion people, with a B, billion. Today's world population stands at 7.5 billion people. And that's meant that the world's total population has doubled in size since the 1960s. And each day, there are about 240,000 people who are added to the world's population each day. And the United Nations projects that by 2050, and that's only 33 years from now, the world's total population will be 9.7 billion people with a B. So there's three ways that a population can change in size. One is births, and we usually one of the things we usually look at is the crude birth rate. And then the other way, or second way that a population can change in size is deaths, crude death rate. And the difference between the birth rate and the death rate is referred to as the natural increase, or if a population has got more deaths than a birth, a natural decrease. And we saw periods in time in history, the Black Plague or major wars or something like that, where the population actually did decrease. The third way in which a population can change in size is by migration, people either moving in, immigration, or leaving a country, emigrating. So the first key term that I wanted to focus on is the total fertility rate. And this is the average number of children that each woman has statistically in her lifetime. And the total fertility rate for the world right now is 2.5 children. Meaning that statistically, every woman in the world has 2.5 kids. Now, that's not an expectation. That's just saying that statistically, that's the number of children that each woman has. But as listeners would suspect, there's considerable variation between countries. In some countries, women have significantly more children. For example, in Nigeria, the average total fertility rate, the average number of children each woman has, is 7.6 kids. In South Sudan, it's 6.9 kids, and in Democratic Republic of Congo, it's 6.6 kids. At the other end of the continuum is countries like South Korea and Poland, which have a total fertility rate of 1.2 children, Greece and Spain, 1.3, and then Japan at 1.4.
I notice you don't include China, and we have talked about China before, right? Because they actually do have, I believe, regulations when it comes to this.
So. Right, and so their total, their one-child policy, which started in 1979, officially implemented in 1980, and went all the way until 2015, restricted, in essence, every couple to have only one child. Now, there were certainly exceptions, but that was the goal, is to slow down the population growth. And maybe later we'll talk a little bit about China and try to figure out what's going on in China today. The key number, though, whether we're looking at China, whether we're looking at Niger at 7.6 or Japan 1.4 children per woman, is replacement fertility. And the number is identified as 2.1. A total fertility rate of 2.1 is where you've got the number of children who are replacing each of the parents, the mother and the father. Any population that is below 2.1 is seeing a natural decrease, and any population above 2.1 is seeing a natural increase. And right now, the United States' total fertility rate is 1.9 children per woman, just a little bit below replacement fertility. And so the U.S.'s population is actually shrinking as a whole. And the only way that the population will grow is through immigration.
Very good. And I do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open if you want to enter into this discussion. Really quite fascinating. I know I'm learning as we go along. Dr. Jeffrey Smith again, 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. You had mentioned, of course, that 2.1 number. And what happens when a country does have a fertility rate that's below replacement levels, such as the United States with a 1.9?
Yeah. Well, the perfect example, the best example is Japan. As I said before, Japan's total fertility rate stands at 1.4 children. And for decades, the total fertility rate has been below that replacement level, and the country has been shrinking. Now, a member of the audience, the listening audience, might say, well, wait, Jeff, Tokyo is the world's largest city. And it's true. With a population of 37.8 million people, it is the largest urban area in the world. The problem, or the reality, is that the population of Tokyo and the greater Tokyo metropolitan area has only been increasing because of depopulation from rural areas. So there's thousands of young people who are moving to the cities, to Tokyo and to its suburbs. And then also, after the 2011 tsunami and the nuclear accidents, people left that part of Japan and moved to the larger cities. And so it's not necessarily the country growing in size, but instead it's a redistribution of the population. One interesting story I came across is that there's a village on the island of Shikoku named Nagoro, and it has a total population of 30 people. 30.
How big is the island?
Yeah, no kidding. It's Shikoku is just south of Kyushu, and so it's a good-sized island. Uh-huh. But it's one of the big four islands. But in this particular village, they were always known for growing potatoes, and potato production has been less popular, and so people have left and moved to the cities. Its population in this village of Nagoro has been shrinking for decades. And one lady in town sewed life-size mannequins and placed them around the community at the bus station, at City Hall, at different places, trying to give the impression that there were more people, or at least help comfort the people who are living there to make them feel like there's more people in town.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so this is a wonderful example of a country that is well below replacement fertility, and kind of some of the interesting little anecdotes of how the local population is dealing with this.
And you say, of course, as their population ages, you have all kinds of health problems probably associated with that, too.
And exactly, Kathy. That's exactly where we're going. And that is couples are having fewer kids, and the country is rapidly becoming skewed towards the older populations. About 30% of the population is over 65 years of age. And right now, there are 60,000 people in Japan who are over the age of 100. More people and a higher percentage than any other country in the world.
Something else I just thought of, too, because I know with the Asian cultures in particular, there's always great respect for elders, but you don't have as many young people to help them, it sounds like.
Exactly. And it's an assistance in old age, whether it's Alzheimer's or dementia, it's replacement surgeries, it's physical constraints with transportation. How do you help set up efficient but convenient modes of transportation for older folks? It's closing of schools. It's depopulation of rural communities. It's a deficit of workers in the younger age groups and the lower skilled age groups, or in the lower skilled segments of the workforce. stagnant population, economic decline, shrinking tax base. That's another big one that Japan right now is dealing with. And so all of these issues, Japan is right on the forefront. And countries around the world, governments around the world, are looking to Japan to say, how is Japan dealing with this, and what can we do to either emulate them or to maybe take it one step further?
Why don't we go ahead and take a break? I think this is probably a good breaking point. It's about 9:16. Dr. Jeffrey Smith with us today, Associate Professor of Cultural Geography. Again, if you'd like to join in the discussion, really fascinating, of course. We're talking about population levels and fertility rates. 537-1350. If you have questions or comments, you're listening to In Focus.
K-Man Weather is powered by Colbert Hills Golf Course and Restaurant.